Y'all glad to be in the house of the Lord today. Hope you're reading along with us. We have finished week three in our reading plan of reading through the first five books of the Bible. And we've went through the majority of Genesis already, and so we will be there. And if you have read, then it'll make the sermons always be better, and you will make the connections. So I hope that you read through the week so that what is being preached, you're like, oh, I heard that, I read that, and oh, okay, I see it. And we can have some of those moments on a Sunday morning. Sound good? All right, so if you would stand for the honor of reading God's word, I want to read a passage out of Hosea. We will be in Genesis for the message, but Hosea is commenting on an encounter that Jacob had that we read about this week. Hosea chapter 12, verse 4. He strove with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He met God at Bethel. And there God spoke with us. The Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial name. Let's pray. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God, our Savior Jesus, the Almighty. The one that encountered Jacob, that wrestled with him, that changed his name. We come to you today and we ask for your hand to fall upon us, your voice to speak, your presence to be made known. And Lord, that you would do a work in our heart and our life. Help us, God, to hear you. Help me to preach plain and clear, Lord. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth. I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I feel like Smokey and the Bandit this morning. We have a long way to go and a short time to get there. Got a lot of information to cover because we're trying to see how God is fulfilling his promise to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And so in our reading, we're seeing the plan of redemption unfold in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. This is after God had called Abraham to leave his country, to leave his life, his family. He was brought up in a pagan home, and to embrace following the Lord, the God that would show him where he is to go. And it says in 12 verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give you this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. We are going to learn this morning and emphasize this truth, that it is the purpose of gathering together to experience the presence of God. When we come together as a church, when we come together as a body of believers, the purpose to come this morning is to hear from God, to be in his presence, and so that God might reveal himself to you, that you might hear from him. You shouldn't come just to be seen. You shouldn't come on Sunday because it's the right thing to do. You don't come to church on Sunday to get a check by your name in heaven. You come to church, to the house of God, to hear from God Almighty. And this morning, what I want us to focus on is that we gather to worship the Lord God Almighty, who changes who we are, what we do, and where we're headed. You with me? We gather to worship the Lord God Almighty, who changes who we are, what we do, and where we're headed. Abram encountered God. He changed who he was, what he did, and where he was headed. He encounters Isaac, he encounters Jacob, and guess what? He encounters you. And he calls us to be faithful and obedient to him, and he does the same thing for us. In Genesis chapter 13, we read about him separating himself from Lot, and there he went to Bethel and called upon the name of the Lord once again. He built an altar. Then in Genesis 17, Abraham is given the covenant of circumcision, and there God does something anew with him once again. It says in Genesis 17, verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Now, if I had my Bible out, I would underline that phrase, God Almighty. I am God Almighty, that is the Hebrew El Shaddai. I'm God Almighty, the all-powerful one. And he says, walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me, follow me, trust me, and be blameless. Abram had not been doing very well up to this point. He had made some blunders, and God is renewing once again and saying, now I want you to walk before me. I want you to seek me. I want you to live for me. I want you to fulfill the purpose that I have for you, and I want you to be blameless. I want you to live a holy life. I want you to live one that pleases me. Remember, we gather to worship God Almighty, who changes who we are, what we do, and where we're going. He calls us to live for him, to pursue him, to honor him, to live our lives according to him. Verse 4, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. He changes his name. I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. When God changes his name, he is giving him a new identity. You realize that when you become a believer in Jesus, you become a new creation, and he gives you a new identity. Aren't you glad that you can be defined by who God says you are and not what the world says you are? Huh? Aren't you tired of listening to what the culture says, who you should be and what you should do? I think it's time that we start getting a hold of God and getting in his presence and saying, God Almighty, I want you to define who I am. I want you to change me. I want you to give me a name. I want you to change me. Who I am, what I do, and where I'm going. And Abraham's life was forever changed. And he gave him the covenant that would be fulfilled through his sons. Abraham has Isaac. We read about Isaac's life, and Isaac has a son by the name of Jacob. Jacob, we know, and we'll talk about this here in just a moment, his name will be changed to Israel. He will have 12 sons, and that will become the nation of Israel. And so Abraham has Isaac. And Isaac then calls Jacob to himself, and he sends him off to his kindred family where he will meet his wife. But he gives him a promise. Notice what Isaac says to his son Jacob, Genesis 28:3. He says, God Almighty, El Shaddai, again, who appeared to Abram and changed his name? El Shaddai, God Almighty. Who does Isaac invoke the name of God when he blesses his son Jacob? El Shaddai, God Almighty. God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you that you may become a company of peoples. May he give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring with you that you may take possession of the land of your sojournings that God gave to Abraham. So he's passing the blessing on to Jacob. Abraham passed it along to Isaac. Now Isaac gives it to Jacob. Jacob is on his way to where he will meet his uncle Laban and fall in love with his wife, who he gets tricked into marrying the older daughter first, and he works 14 years for Laban to marry the woman that he loves. But on his way there, he has this encounter. It's the encounter that Hosea, that we read, references. Jacob is journeying. He gets tired, as what you do when you are on a long journey. And he's ready to go to sleep. Takes a stone and he lays his head upon that stone. And Genesis 28:12 says, "And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." So the angels of God were going up and down this ladder that reached all the way to heaven. "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed.'" Now, if I have my Bible out, I'm underlining "to the west, to the east, to the north, and the south." This is the first time that the blessing has invoked to the promised seed that this would bless all the way to the north, all the way to the south, all the way to the east, and all the way to the west. Which is saying that this promise that is coming through your seed, through your offspring, will bless the entire globe. It'll be for all people. This is a worldwide blessing that is promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through their offspring. You see, the Bible is a theological book. It's a book about God. It's about how God reveals himself to mankind. It's about how we as mankind have sinned against a holy God and our relationship with God was broken, and how God is pursuing a prodigal people to put the peace back together and make us whole. And now we're seeing the plan of redemption being threaded through this patriarch family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 15, he says, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." I love that. Now, if I read my Bible and I read my Bible and I read my Bible in light of the Old Testament, a lot of the New Testament, I know my New Testament, I know what Jesus says. Boy, this sounds real familiar, does it not? He's making a promise to Jacob that the blessing is going to be for all nations. In essence, north, south, east, west, it's going to go global. It's going to go everywhere. And I'm going to be with you, and I'm never going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you until the promise is fulfilled. Sounds real familiar to me. Verse 17, "And he was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven,'" or the stairway to heaven, which he wrote that before Led Zeppelin did, by the way. He says, "This is the house of God. This is Bethel." Where did Abraham build an altar? Bethel. What does Bethel mean? House of God. He encountered God. When we gather to worship God Almighty, he changes who we are, what we do, and where we're going. Jacob's life is about to change. He goes on, he marries, he has kids. It's time to leave Laban, and he's been working there for years, and it's God comes to Jacob once again and says, "You need to leave." He says in a dream, "Jacob," he says, calls him out by name, "Jacob," and Jacob responds, "Here I am." Remember last week we talked about Abraham, when God speaks your name, when God just calls you, you just simply stop what you're doing, and your appropriate response is say what? "Here I am. What do you need, Lord? What are you saying? Where are you directing? I want to follow you. Here I am." And so he says, "Here I am." And then we have this encounter with that God has. And I misspoke, I think, earlier in the message. This is the encounter that Hosea wrote about. He has a wrestling match with God. If you read it this week, did you find that a little interesting? God begins to wrestle with this man. Well, who's this man? That Hosea says it's an angel of the Lord. It's God himself. It's a Christophany once again. It's the Lord Jesus there in the Old Testament. He's wrestling with Jacob, and Jacob is not letting him go. And they're wrestling all night. And you think, well, if it was Jesus, how come the match wasn't over sooner? Well, you know, Jesus is just kind of wrestling with him like a dad wrestles with his son. Now, I'm not talking about a 22-year-old son and a 50-year-old man. I'm talking about, you know, when you had your little boy. Dad, tell me you wrestled around with your son. You'd knock him down, put him in a headlock, you know, give him a noogie. But then you'd let them pounce on you, you know, and they'd be on top of you like they're about to pin you. One, two, then you break loose, run. Come on, I know I got some wrestlers among us. Y'all setting on me. You're setting on me. Adam, you're setting on me. Back there, I'm using an illustration that you could be with, and you just sitting there staring at me. He's wrestling right now. And the dad just kind of wrestles, you know, with that son. You know, he can overpower him, but he's just they're just bonding and having fun. And we know that the Lord Jesus, I mean, he's not someone that just a mere man can take, but we know the wrestling match here with Jacob could have ended much sooner. Well, how do we know that? Because when the sun was about to go up, it was finally over. Jesus just touches him in the hip. Boom, done. Oh, dislocated. Right. He just dislocated his hip. Just like that. What's Jesus doing? He's wrestling with Jacob. Jacob, how bad you want this? Are you going to strive with me? Do you really want me? Do you really want to pursue me? Are you going to let me have everything about your life? And I wonder how many of us travail with God. How many of us wrestle with God? How many of us really get in with God and say, God, I need you. And I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And until something, I need you to speak. I need you to move. I need something in my life to change. I need you to break this addiction. I need you to break this habit. I need you to break this off my life. I need a new name. I need a new direction. I need to follow and trust you, and I want you more than anything in this world. And Jacob wrestles with God. He's like, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. Until you change me. Until I encounter you. And there, Jacob, once again, he calls upon the name of the Lord. He has an encounter with God. Is there anyone here this morning? You're at a place where you're desperate to hear from God. You want to be in his presence. Just want to hear you, God. Just want you to speak, Lord. The Lord then once again in Genesis 35, he calls Jacob back to Bethel. 35, verse 1, it says, God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, which means house of God. When we gather to worship God Almighty, he changes who we are, what we do, and where we're going. He says, go back to Bethel and dwell there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you and purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel so that I may make there an altar to the God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone. He says, the Lord has told us to get back into the house of God, to get into his presence. And if you've got any pagan idols with you that Laban had, get rid of them. Don't bring these idols to the house of God. And clean these garments. Clean your garments. Don't come in here with stained garments. Because we're going to the house of God. And we go to the house of God, we're seeking his presence. We're seeking to know him so that he can change who we are, what we do, and where we're going. And so Jacob says, we're cleaning house, we're repenting, we're bringing any filthy thing that is in my life and we're getting rid of it. I wonder how many this morning we just need to get rid of some filth. Some filthy lifestyles, some filthy habits, some filthy way of thinking. Some idols that you carry. The idols of our culture. I'm so sick of our culture trying to steal the identity of our children and our kids, our adults, idols of self-pleasure, just it's all about you, that the purpose in my life is to find myself. If you need to go find yourself here, you can go to the mall in Fayette County, and there will be a map of the mall, and it'll have a dot, and it'll say, you are here, and you found yourself. That's not what we need. We don't need to find ourselves. The Bible says we need to lose ourselves. The Bible says we don't need to be true to who I am. We need to be true to who he says I am. I'm not going to let the world tell me who I am. I'm going to let the Lord God Almighty tell me who I am. And I'm going to listen to him, and I'm going to follow him. Because when I get into the house of God, he changes who I am, what I do, and where I'm going. Lay aside the things that are going to kill you. The thief is a lie. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. False idols. Following the gospel of Disney will destroy your life. But following the God Almighty, he'll change who you are, what you do, and where you're going. You with me this morning? Somebody say amen. And so we're at the house of God. Verse 9. God appeared to Jacob again. And it came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob, which means trickster. Your name is Jacob. No longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel will be your name. Israel means one who strives with God, one who contends with God. That wrestling match, he strived with God, and God changed his name. And so he called his name Israel, verse 11. And God said to him, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, and I will give the land to your offspring after you. Who changed his name? God Almighty. Who changed Abraham's name? God Almighty. And when he changed their name, he changed who they were, what they did, and where they were going. We gather to worship God Almighty, who changes who we are, what we do, and where we're going. And the beautiful thing about the Old Testament is that it's pointing us to the promised offspring or seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The rest of the Bible is pointing us and showing us how God Almighty is orchestrating the plan of salvation throughout all of history and bringing to a culminating event that we know as the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When Jesus was born, the angels in heaven announced his coming. when he began his ministry and he walked, John the Baptist recognized him as the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. Jesus then began to gather him a people of peoples. We can translate in the Old Testament when he's making the promise to Jacob, a company of peoples or a people of peoples, as a kingdom. It's getting good. Jesus came to bring a kingdom. He told people when he was ministering, the kingdom of God is in your midst. He calls 12 disciples. 12 is a significant number. It's not by accident. He calls 12 disciples. He begins to call Andrew and Peter and James and John and Philip. And then Philip goes, finds Nathanael, and he says, we found the Messiah, and he's from Nazareth. And Nathanael says, Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? And Jesus comes and approaches him and says, Nathanael, whoa, a true Israelite indeed, whom there is no guile. He said, before I called you, I saw you sitting under the tree. And Nathanael is amazed, and he says, you are indeed the Messiah. And Jesus responds to Nathanael and says this, because I said, saw you in a fig tree, that you believe, you'll see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You will see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What was Jacob's dream? He saw the angels of God ascending and descending on this ladder that reached to heaven. God met him. When Jesus was born, God in flesh, Emmanuel, John tells us he tabernacled among us. He pitched his tent among us. He tabernacled among us. Jesus says that he is the temple. What's significant about the temple? It's where God's presence is. Jesus told them one day, he said, destroy this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. Pharisees said, what? 3 days? Who's this man think he is? It took years to build this temple. And he says he's going to tear it down and build it in 3 days. Who's he think he is? Are you greater than Abraham? And John tells us he wasn't meaning Herod's temple. That was the second temple built. He was talking about his body. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. Cross resurrection. Jesus. Bethel. House of God. In his presence. After the resurrection, Jesus then meets his disciples once again, and he calls them and he gives them the Great Commission. We know that. Go into the world and make disciples of how many nations? All nations. Let's see here. The promise to Jacob was to the north, to the south, to the east, and the west. Jesus says, go make disciples of how many nations? All nations. Do you think that includes north? What about south? How about east? How about west? Everyone. The gospel will go global. Christianity is not just a Jewish faith. It's not just a Gentile faith. It's a global faith. It is a faith in the God Almighty. Isn't it interesting how Christianity has spread all throughout the world? You know, a lot of religions are just cultural and based on heritage. It's grouped by, you know, most Muslims come from a certain area, geographic area. Now, I know, yeah, there's some Muslims that are around the world too, but most Buddhists come from a certain area. But Christianity is found where? Everywhere. Guess what? The Christians in China that are worshiping God Almighty, God's in their midst. The Christians in Afghanistan who are worshiping God Almighty, God's in their midst. The Christians in Korea, in South and in North, that are hiding and in fear for their life, God is with them, because where the Spirit of God is, He is present. And He told the disciples, when you go out and you go make this Great Commission, don't do it until the promise comes. Don't do it. And He tells them, go back to Jerusalem and wait for me. Now, Abraham went back to Bethel. Jacob went back to Bethel. But after Genesis, Bethel is not really mentioned anymore. Jerusalem is. Because Jerusalem is where the temple will be. Jerusalem is where God's presence will be manifest. And Jesus tells the disciples, hey, go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise. They're waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. 40 days after the resurrection, they're in the upper room. And they're in the upper room. What are they doing in the upper room? They are praying. They are seeking God. They are striving after God. They are seeking His purpose and His power and His plan for their life. And they are wanting God. They're wrestling in prayer. They want God more than anything in their life. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down like a mighty rushing wind, and tongues of fire fall upon them. And they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They are empowered with the Holy Spirit. They are sealed with the Spirit of promise. And when they encounter the Spirit of God, it changes who they are, what they're going to do, and where they're going. Changes their life. When you encounter the risen Lord, when you surrender your life, when you repent of your sin, when you call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe You died on the cross. You rose again. Come into my life and save me. Guess what? He seals you with the Holy Spirit of promise, and He changes who you are and what you do and where you're going. I hope you're with me this morning. You with me? And they begin to spread the gospel. They begin to take the gospel to the world. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings on earth, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and made us a kingdom of what? A kingdom who are priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you, who's He talking to? He's talking to the offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who's that? Those are people who trust and follow Jesus. Those are people who have been born again. Who's people that follow Jesus? Us Christians, believers. He's writing to the church, and he says that you, believer in Jesus, follower of Christ, the one who has met God Almighty, who has had your name changed, given you, changed who you are, what you do, and where you're going. He says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. You have been redeemed from the darkness and transferred into the light so that you might glorify His name and that you might be the witness of who He is. That when you encounter the risen Lord and He saves you from your sin, He changes who you are, what you do, and where you're going. It is our privilege and responsibility to fulfill the promise that was made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that is to take the gospel to the ends of the world so that from north, south, east, west, men and women can call upon the name of the Lord. We get to carry the gospel. You say, well, where is that? It's in my school. It's at the college campus. It's in my workplace. It's in the lunchroom. It's on the golf course. It's when I'm in my fishing boat. It's everywhere I go, I get to be a person who witnesses about God Almighty. I get to live a life of purpose and power. I get to live a life of hope because I know there's a promise of heaven. I know there's a promise that I'm going to get a new name. He says in Revelation, who has an ear? Do y'all have ears? Hear. Whatever you're doing right now, just stop and listen. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. To the one who conquers, the one who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. Give him food. I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. I'll give you a new name. I'll make you new. I'll change your identity. I'll give you a hope, a future. I'll give you purpose. Can I tell you? Living your life under submission of what Jesus calls you to do will be a greater blessing to you than you living your life your own way. It just will. Don't sell your birthright for a bowl of stew. Listen to me. Esau despised his birthright. Don't you feel sorry for Esau? Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. He comes in, he's hungry. Jacob says, some of your birthright, I made some stew. Well, what good's that birthright going to do if I'm going to die of hunger? Over exaggeration. And he gives away his birthright for a bowl of stew. How many people are selling their birthright for stew? You're listening to the world. You're listening to the culture. You're indulging your own sinful flesh and you're wanting to do life your way instead of God's way. And you're selling out what God's offering you for just some stew. What? For some money? For some pleasure? For some popularity? For what? 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 Don't sell your birthright for stew when you have been offered salvation. What the world has to give you is just stew. That doesn't last. God says, I'll give you manna. I am the bread of heaven, Jesus says. If you eat of me, you'll never hunger. I'm the living water. And I offer it without cost. And if you'll come and drink of me, you'll never thirst. Do you know Jesus this morning? Have you had an encounter with God Almighty? Because there is coming a day when he returns. When the disciples saw Jesus go up to heaven, they were staring. And two angels said, why are you looking up into heaven? This same Jesus who ascended will come back in the same manner. You got work to do. There's coming a day when Jesus comes from heaven. He's coming back. And the Bible says there in Revelation, behold, he is coming in the clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. Every person who chose stew over salvation, that will be the biggest moment of regret in all of history. Because when he returns and makes himself known, and you did not call upon the Lord Jesus and trust him and place your faith in him, there will be no hope for you. None. And you will be cast into the eternal lake of fire forever. You say, well, I don't believe in that. Well, it doesn't matter. Jesus did. I'm going to trust the guy that rose from the dead. But he's given you an opportunity today. Amen. He's given you an opportunity today. He says, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. The Lord God Almighty, the El Shaddai, the one that's all powerful, he gives an invitation today and he says, come, come to me, trust me, follow me. I'll give you a new name. I'll give you a new task and assignments. And I'm going to give you a new place. I'll change who you are, what you do, and where you're headed. Follow me. This morning, he asked you to follow him. Will you do it? The gospel from north, south, east, west. The Lord Almighty will do it. He will be magnified. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, the Lord Almighty. Lord, you encountered Abraham. You spoke to Isaac. You wrestled with Jacob and you blessed him. And you came to earth and you put on flesh. And you died for our sin. But you rose again. And you conquered death, hell, and the grave. And you offer today salvation, your promise that you will give us, make us new, and give us a hope for heaven to be with you forever and all eternity. And so, Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that needs to trust in you, to follow you, that today they will come and say, Lord, I want to encounter you. I want to experience you. I want to become a place where you move and speak, that you live through my life. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.